Good morning. It is good to be here in the house of the Lord on sacred and holy ground. This is sanctuary. When you think about that, what that word means, sanctuary. Sanctuary from life, from the world, sanctuary, where we can leave everything behind us, all the baggage outside, and then come into this place, into the presence of God, and surrender our lives to Him as living sacrifices so that He can do with us whatever He wants because He knows what's best for us. Sanctuary, a great place to be. A couple of announcements. One, our back-to-school donation drive, That means we're accepting any kind of household goods that you have, clothes, toys, tools, knickknacks, furniture, anything you want to bring in that we can give away to people this coming weekend, Saturday from 9 till noon. We are going to show the community our extravagant love and give this stuff away. And everybody is invited to come and see what we have. It is open to everybody regardless of how much money you make. And then whatever's left over, we will send to Goodwill, Salvation Army, someplace like that. So it won't go to waste. Then also this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, we have our Lay Leadership Committee meeting. And please, if you're on the Lay Leadership Committee, come on out. And even if you can't make it at 6, come at 7. You know we'll be there. It always takes a while to get all this done. And please be in prayer about how God might want to use you, how you can get out of the boat. Don't turn your phone off and run away Wednesday night. Just be in prayer about it. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we give you thanks, Lord, for all the blessings that you bestowed upon us. We give you thanks for this place, for one another. We give you thanks for our abundance, our prosperity, our health such that it is. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Blessed be your holy name. And God, we pray that you would pour out your spirit upon this service, that it would truly be pleasing to you and life-changing to us. So come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us up to overflowing. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us with love for one another and especially with love for you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. And the peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass that peace to one another.
Good morning. We offer a warm welcome to all who are worshiping with us this morning, especially those of you who are visiting with us. If you are visiting today, please make sure to take a welcome packet from the Shepherd's Crook near the entrance to the sanctuary or see one of our ushers for a packet. As I'm sharing some of our announcements today, please complete the form in the red register pad in each pew, pass it to the others in the pew, and return it towards the center aisle. If you notice that someone who normally sits near you is missing this morning, please give them a call and let them know that they were missed. You may write any prayer requests you have on the cards in the red attendance folders and place them in the holders at the end of the pews so our ushers can bring them to the pastor. I'm going to be highlighting a few of our announcements today, but please make sure you take a look in the bulletin for any other announcements that we may have. Pastor Bruce touched upon our back-to-school donation drive. Please consider either donating your time or items for that. Our church is also in need of flowers for all of the September services. If you are interested in purchasing flowers for our altar, you can call Alice. I have an announcement that's not in your bulletin today. Pastor Mannion, our youth pastor, asked me to share this with you. He wanted to make you aware of some changes in the youth ministry here at our church. Beginning in September, we'll be instituting two changes in the youth program. We will begin having youth church on Sundays during the Sunday school and late service. That will be from 9:30 to 11:45. This will be the regular meeting time for the youth group. We'll have our own worship, games, small groups, and lesson during that time. This will occur two times a month. Worship will be during the Sunday school hour, not during late service, as to not create a sound disturbance. The monthly schedule would be as follows. On the first week of the month, there'll be a family worship. On the first Sunday, the students will go to church with their parents, and they will meet only during the Sunday school hour. On week two, there will be the youth church, where they'll be meeting upstairs from 9:30 to 11:45. On the third week of the month, there will be what is called Love Thy Neighbor, and they will do a service project in the community. The fourth week will again be youth church, and then if there is a fifth Sunday, it will again be a Love Thy Neighbor event. The schedule will repeat throughout the course of the entire school year. Additionally, beginning September 13th, we'll be launching a youth center with an open gym, game room, food, music, ping pong, pool, air hockey, foosball, movie room, and a homework room. This is designed to bring new students and families into the church. The hope and prayer is that some of these students and their parents will begin attending on a Saturday or Sunday. The youth center will occur each Wednesday from 5 to 8 p.m. In the bulletin, there is a little bit more information about the needs of the youth in our church. The greatest need at this time is volunteers for the youth center. So please continue to keep the youth in your prayers, and if you're able, volunteer your time at the youth center. It would be greatly appreciated. If you have any questions or would like to help in any way, you can contact Pastor Mannion. And the youth thanks you for your support. Lastly, I'm going to be passing around a clipboard. On the clipboard are multiple different opportunities for service within the church. Please look through the different pages and consider volunteering your time. And now let's turn our hearts and minds to worship. Oh, the memory verse. We have to do our memory verse. Our memory verse is Psalm 23:4. We're going to recite it through twice together. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff comfort me. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff comfort me. Thank you. Please stand and join me in reciting our call to worship. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Please remain standing as we sing our opening hymn, number 452, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
Morning. All right. School. Are you looking forward to school? Yeah. Cool. Yeah, school. I need you to get me, I don't need to get me the Bible. Let's see. Let's do this. Do you know what intinction means? Okay, do you know what conglomerate means? No. Do you know what supercalifragilisticexpialidocious means? Neither do I. Bring your backpacks. Come on up here. There's a lot of things in life that you don't know what it means because you haven't learned it yet. But because of school, you will learn it. And when you learn more things, you understand more things, and it opens up doors and windows for you. It enables you to do things that you never could do before, because the more you know, the more you can do. So school is very, very important. It will help you be a productive person in life. It'll help give you understanding, and you'll be able to help other people. And you know, I think the best thing about education, it helps us all to be able to read the Bible. We can read it and prayerfully understand it and apply it to our lives because of our education. It's not something that we should ever take for granted, being educated. Sometimes it's a real pain to go to school, and sometimes school's no fun, but it's worth it. It's worth it because of what it does for us. It changes us. And it'll open up your mind, and it'll show you things you've never seen before. So school is really important. So we're going to pray for school through the backpacks. First off, do we have any teachers here? If you're a teacher, please stand. If you are a school administrator, please stand. If you are a custodian at the school, crossing guard, bus driver, please stand. Teacher's aide, please stand. Okay. Come on over here, Michael. Just stand right here, Sophie. We'll just... All right, hold them backpacks up a little bit. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for your anointing, Lord, to be not only upon these backpacks. They represent our education. We pray for your anointing to be upon these students, administrators, support staff, crossing guards, bus drivers, custodians, teachers' aides, cafeteria workers. Lord, bless them. Bless them that the education that comes to our young people will truly be a great benefit to them and enlighten them and open their eyes. Bless the schools, Lord, and keep them safe. Bless and anoint all of them, Lord, and we pray that you fill everybody in school with the revelation truth of Jesus Christ. So come, Holy Spirit. Fill our students with a hunger for your holy word, with an overwhelming desire to seek your kingdom first in every area of their lives. Fill them with a thirst for knowledge. Fill them with wisdom and understanding. And bless our teachers and administrators and all those who are involved. Guide them and direct them in the way that you would have them go to. For we ask all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen.
You have no rival, you stand alone. The heavens worship before your throne. There is no one like you. You have no equal, your kingdom reigns. Yours is the highest of every name. There is no one like you. Almighty, we're standing in the presence of your majesty. You're holy, you alone, the sovereign crown of royalty. You're the King. Almighty. our God eternal, the great I am, the praise of angels will never end. There is no one like you. Eyes like fire, face like the sun, a voice like thunder, who was and is to come. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Almighty, we're standing in the presence of your majesty. You're holy, you alone, the sovereign crown of royalty. You're the King. The Holy One, high and exalted, I hide my eyes and I tremble before Him. I tremble before Him. I see the Holy One, high and exalted, I hide my eyes and I tremble. I tremble, you are almighty. We're standing in the presence of your majesty. You're holy, you alone, the sovereign crown of royalty. You're the King of kings, almighty.
Word of God this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapters 45, verses 1 to 15. Then Joseph could not control himself before those who stood by him, and he cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Make haste and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, and your children's children, and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. And there I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, lest you have your household and all that you have come to poverty. And now your eyes see, the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my month that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my splendor in Egypt and all that you have seen. Make haste and bring my father down here. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. At this time, will the ushers please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings?
Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. With an imperfect love, to be sure, but we love you. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to show our love by giving to you these tithes and these offerings. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless and multiply them. Use them, Lord, through the ministries of this church for making disciples of Jesus Christ. Use them through the ministries of this church for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord, and please be seated. Joys and concerns. Well, if you missed the picnic, you missed the humdinger. We had a grand time at the picnic. Lots of fun, beautiful weather, great food. Great games. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Evening vespers, little evening service. It was nice. Hope you can make it out next year. And on your way out, there is a board right outside the doors with a whole bunch of pictures that Peggy had taken, and put them on a board so you can look at the pictures and see what you missed at the picnic. A lot of fun. Indoor plumbing is a joy. Thank you. Yes. School starts tomorrow. That's what folks were saying at first service. Yay!
Garden fresh vegetables.
Garden fresh vegetables. Had another tomato sandwich yesterday on toast. Mmm. I tried that. I put peanut butter on one of them, and it's okay. Other joys.
Family and friends.
Okay, Stephanie is joyful for our summer weather.
A safe and fun vacation.
Safe and fun vacation. Okay. A lot of joys. We're joy. What is that? Okay, yeah, so we want to keep Patty in our prayers. Connie's sister Patty was in transition health care. Somehow she fell out of the bed, was unconscious. They sent her to Forbes Regional, where she has regained consciousness and is doing better. But we want to continue to keep her in our prayers. So our joys, it's a joy that our neighbor across the street, Bonnie's high school friend, owns a built-in swimming pool. So, it was nice. So for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Okay, our pens and pencils, Patty, of course, as always, our country and our country's leaders. All of the stuff that's going on in our country today, the historical statues, the racism, the violence, terrorism, government corruption and just craziness. We need to pray for our country at all levels of the government. Pray for a great revival of the Holy Spirit in our land, a true spirit of repentance. We need to pray for our church. Pray for our church that we would not be just a club, that we would not just be Sunday morning, but that we would be a body of people filled with the extravagant love of Jesus and sharing that with the community around us. Pray for our church administration, management, and finance of the church. Our first responders, and they've really had a busy summer. Our first responders. And we already mentioned Patty. David Doris, Lois, keep them in your prayers. I want to pray for Gail and Donna. Pray for Deb. Deb here, who's going to have some infusions, which will prayerfully get her health back on track. Pray for her that the infusions go well and that her health is restored. And pray for a fellow named John, who was lifted up last night at last night's service. And John has brain tumors, inoperable, and it's just a matter of time. So pray for John and family. Pray, and you know, when somebody says that, first thing you pray for is salvation. Not even peace, not even free of pain. You pray for salvation first.
Nothing more important than that. Because when you're dead, it's forever. And you just want to make sure that you've got Jesus. So pray for that first. Other requests? Okay. Okay, Christine. We also want to pray for Misha, Suzanne's granddaughter. For Pam. Okay, let's pray for school and all the activities. Okay, Terry's having an MRI and then seeing the surgeon. So pray for Terry that everything goes well and his health is restored to him. Who else do we want to pray for? Mary, pray for Mary. Pray for Pastor Stephen and the youth group. Now you pray until God releases you from this. And you know how God releases you from this? You just don't think about it anymore. Got a real peace about it. But as long as it's a burden on your heart, you keep lifting them in prayer. Any other requests? If you have an unspoken request, raise your hand, and God sees that hand and knows the details. And for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we thank you, God, for all of our blessings, for we indeed are a blessed people. Help us, God, to share our blessings with others. And Lord, we believe that you're greater than any problem that any of us has. We believe, God, help our unbelief. We believe that the chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. We believe that we have favor with God and man, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that with you, God, all things are possible. It is all written. And the gates of hell will not prevail against your word. That is also written. And so we stand on your promises, and we ask you, God, to intervene and bring a mighty healing to meet all our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus, to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. We believe, God, help our unbelief. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Remain seated. Remain seated for the reading of the Gospel. Matthew chapter 15. Verses 21 through 28.
They told me I was a fool for pestering Jesus, but I didn't know what else to do. All the healers, the prayers, the incantations over my daughter were for nothing. I was going to lose her. Her torments grew stronger every day. I feared for her life. I love her so much. And I didn't know what to do. And then Jesus came to town. Now, I'd heard of all the wonderful things he'd been doing, because word gets around. And I wondered if he might be able to help me. Now, I'm not an Israelite. I'm a foreigner in this land. My faith background is not of the Israelite faith. They told me I didn't even belong there. Who do you think you are? They shouted at me. You're not one of us. You don't belong here. Get away from Jesus. But I didn't listen to them, or at least I didn't do what they wanted. I went to Jesus, and I tugged on his robe, and I pled for my daughter's restoration. The disciples said, "Send her away, Lord. Oh, please, Lord, please heal my daughter." And Jesus, he looked at me and he said that he had come for the lost sheep of Israel. Well, I didn't care. I took a risk. "Oh, Lord, please, please heal my daughter." And then Jesus looked at the crowd and he said that the bread was for the chosen people, the people of Israel. It was not right to take the bread from them and throw it to the dogs. I was astonished. A dog? I was a dog? So I summoned up my courage and I said, "Even the dogs can eat the crumbs from under the master's table." I wasn't asking for the whole thing. Just one healing for one little girl, that's all. Jesus looked at me with compassion in his eyes, and he said, "Woman, thy faith is strong. It shall be done as thou wish." I was astonished. I was amazed. It shall be done as I wish. My daughter would be healed. "It's true. My daughter, she's healed. She's well. She's whole. And so am I. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your compassion on a foreigner in need. Oh, thank you. Thank you."
Who are you? Who are you? If you had to describe yourself to somebody, how would you do it? What's the first thing you would say? What else? What would you say? Who else? Somebody else. Child of God. What else? Who else? How would you describe yourself? Brian, I've never met you before. You're going to decide, "Hey, Brian, who are you?" I'm going to go up to you and I say, "Who are you, sir?"
"I don't know."
That's honest. Sure. You're not alone because nobody else here knows who they are either.
I'm an American.
Well, that's a good description too. The first thing you say is going to be of the most importance. So the first thing you tell somebody is really the most important. And what Peggy said is really should be our answer. She said, "I'm a child of God." When I was young, I don't know, about 14, it's like a picture in my brain. We were coming home from the store, I think. It was me and my mom. And my mom said to me, it was a summer day. She said, "Who are you?" She goes, "Describe to me who you are." And the first thing I said was that I'm a child of God, because we were church-going people. I said, "I'm a child of God. I am Howard and Betty Judy's son." I think I even said that I am Kathy and Midge and David's brother, and my name is Bruce Judy. And she got this look on her face. She was astounded. She said, "You know, that's right. That's how you should answer that. Very good. Start with the most important thing first." Because when we start with, "Hi, I'm Bruce," it's all about Bruce then. We start with, "I'm a child of God," it's all about Jesus. "I'm a Christian." It's important to know who we are, to realize that. Because when we realize that we are a child of God, then we can stand on the promises of God. We know that if we stand for God, God stands for us. And the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? That's important. This woman who came to Jesus, she had a daughter who was demon-possessed and suffering terribly, the Bible says. Suffering terribly. not just some aches and pains, but I mean no peace, no rest, horrible suffering. Now we all know, at least we should know, that when you're sick in your spirit, when you're distraught, emotionally upset, if you're like that for a long period of time, you then become physically ill. When you're sick in your spirit, you become physically ill after a while. Stress does that to all the time. And here this woman was begging for her daughter because she was afflicted by demons. Now, I've wrestled with this passage. This is lectionary reading. Means it's a weekly schedule of readings. And Jesus didn't say anything at first. Well, sure, she was a Canaanite woman. She wasn't a Hebrew, you know, not a Jew. But at first, he ignored her because he knew what was going on with his disciples. He knew they weren't happy with her. See, because she was following them and crying out, "Help me, help my daughter, help me, have mercy on us." And so when the woman approached him, he says, you know, it's not right to take the bread from the children's table and give it to the dogs. Like Diane said, taking the blessings from the children of Israel and giving them to foreigners. It's not right to do that because this is God's chosen people, the Jews. And this woman persists. The fascinating thing is that the disciples, followers of Jesus, said to him, "Tell her to go away. She's bothering us. She was different than them." So they didn't accept her. They rejected her. They wanted her gone. Get her out of here. Tell her to go away. Because she doesn't fit in. She doesn't belong here. Interesting how God works. This is the lectionary reading. I struggled with it, but this is the main point. That woman persisted in her faith. Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And he said, "You have great faith, therefore your request is granted." She was made one with everybody else in faith. Tell her to go away. Sounds an awful lot like the racism that we're suffering today. All the terrorism that's going on. Charlottesville, Barcelona, all of the stuff that's going on today. When will we quit looking at what's on the outside of a person and start looking at their hearts? When will we quit looking at how a person dresses or how much money they make or whether they've got tattoos and body piercings? When are we going to quit looking at all that and start loving people? Not for what they're like on the outside, but for what they're like on the inside. Because the Bible says we're to do that. The Bible makes it clear. How are we to love God if we can't love our brother whom we've seen? How can we love God whom we haven't seen? It says, Paul said that that in Jesus there is no Jew nor Greek, no slave nor free, no male nor female. Everybody is one in Christ. We are all one in the faith. It's, when we have communion, we have one loaf because we're all members of that one loaf. So when I go up to you and ask you, "Who are you?" your first answer is, "Child of God." And I say, "Oh, so am I. Hey, who are you?" "Born again Christian." "So am I. Nice to meet you. This makes us family." "Who are you?" "Christian." "So am I. That makes us family." "Who are you?" "Son of God." "Well, oh, okay. I was going to get down to worship there. I just went, all right. Well, so am I. Child of God, too. Man. makes us family. We may look different, we may sound different, we may act different, but we're still family because we're all part of the family of God, every one of us, Christians, born again, spirit-filled, washed in the blood. That makes us closer family than our genetic makeup, but we don't seem to get it. If you don't go to our church, and listen, I know preachers and I know churches who preach this. If you don't go to this church, you're going to hell. Well, isn't that a crazy thing to tell your parishioners? If you're a Methodist, you're going to hell. I've heard that said too. If you're Catholic, you're going to hell. I've heard that said. Presbyterian, Baptist, you name it. See, what is the matter with us? Yeah, and I've said this one before. God sends Samuel to anoint David to be king. Samuel goes to Jesse's house, looks at all of Jesse's sons. Big, tall, strapping, handsome people. You know, big guys. Really good looking. Some of them were bald with an ear missing. You know, they look really handsome. Did you get their names, Mike? People laughed. And God kept saying, no, no, no. Just because they look like they should be a king doesn't make them a king. Because, and the Bible says, because God does not look at the outward appearance of a person. He looks at the heart. Samuel says, don't you have any other kids? Any other boys? And he says, yeah, one more. He's out tending the sheep. He says, we won't sit down until he gets here. Send for him. And of course, it's David. We're not to look at the outside of one another. We're not to look at the outside of other people. We are to love them in the name of Jesus. Witness to them. The Canaanite woman was an outsider according to the followers of Jesus. Until Jesus brought her into the fold. Yeah, racism. You know, the buck stops here. You can't be a racist and be a Christian. It doesn't work. God loves you, and so do I. Well, I've got some illustrations I wanted to use too. I love watching movies. Was watching a movie late the other night called The Pilgrimage, about monks in 6th century Ireland. They were moving a relic across Ireland to send it to France. And there were soldiers out to stop that. And the one fellow who was helping the monks, he was talking about how his father got into trouble for hiding heretics from the church. And he said, my father didn't lose his faith in the church. He lost his fear of the church. Boy, that stopped me. Right? That's all I can think of for the rest of the movie. Because we have our faith in the church. We have our faith in the name of Jesus. But we've lost our fear, our respect, our reverence, our awe of the church of Jesus, what he's called us to do. We need to go out and stop racism. And I'm not just talking about color. Talking about people who are on the fringes of society that need us. They need us to be bold in our faith. They need us to invite them in. They need us to share the gospel with them. They need us to pour out our extravagant love of Jesus on them. Okay, God loves you and so do I. Let's stand and sing Victory in Jesus. A lot of people out there on the fringes of society, like that Canaanite woman, who are in great need. Let's not be like the disciples and tell them to go away. Let's embrace them. Love them with an extravagant love. Let's be bold in our faith. Please take home your bulletins, and if you can come help set up Friday night at 6 o'clock, we'll be downstairs in the gym putting things up and then giving it away on Saturday. You can be here around 8:30 Saturday. We'll set everything up and let people in. Lay leadership meeting Wednesday. A lot of stuff going on. So, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us and open up our eyes to see the people, Lord, who live in our lives on the fringes of society, and help us to love them to Jesus. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen.